We desire your prayers that the Lord will bless his word this morning. We acknowledge that our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us an able minister of the New Testament according to the word of God. Our scripture this morning begins in Isaiah, the 30th chapter, and we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. And it says, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers." Verse 21, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand or turn to the left hand." There is quite a bit in these two verses that could be addressed today. First of all, I would like to note that it said teachers in the plural. It didn't say there was only one teacher. I find and have found that life is a school. And it doesn't matter if we're saved or if we're living for the Lord or if we're not living for the Lord. Life itself teaches us something all along the way. The scripture says that man is born of a woman and but few days and full of trouble. And trouble sometimes can be a teacher. My mind went back to my school days, starting from kindergarten through my senior year. I had many different teachers. From kindergarten through the sixth grade, I would have only one teacher. Those teachers left an impact on my life. They influenced my learning. They challenged me. Then when I went into the seventh grade and through the 12th grade, I had from 5 to 6 teachers every day throughout those years, each year. Each of those teachers also left an impact on my life. They each one had different methods of teaching. Some taught in a very quiet way, and then others were a little bit more aggressive, used a little more aggressive methods. But it all got the job done. I have found that the purpose of teachers, in looking back over those years of learning, of my formal school years, and I would say my formal teachers, that they had a purpose of giving me knowledge through lessons. They sometimes, through the method of just simple practice, they would train their students from year to year. Oftentimes they would give us instruction and they would give us guidance that we could learn better. In those years, I also found that there were teachers that gave discipline, and they taught us to have discipline. They instructed us. They sometimes would admonish us. I know when I was working in the school, in the Christian school, there was an admonishment to our students. You could look up and you could see when their mind was many miles away, not focused on their learning. And I would say to them, get their attention, and I would say, draw your mind in. That became sort of a motto. In order for the children to learn, they have to be focused, and they have to draw their mind in from those distractions. So we had teachers in our life that had an impact on us to discipline ourselves. But the one thing that I considered and also I appreciated was that they prepared me for life beyond. Life after high school. There are some that will attend college, advance in their learning, in their skills. And again, they are preparing for life beyond school. Jesus was often called the teacher or teacher. He was also addressed as rabbi or master. And this is what he told his disciples. In Matthew 23:8, he said, "One is your master or teacher, even Christ." When we compare our learning years to the learning years of walking with the Lord, there can be some comparing, and yet it is, how shall I say it? Much more advanced. The teachers that we have are much more, have much more the ability to prepare us for life beyond. When Christ was here, and he was mixing and mingling there in the temple and mixing with the religious authorities of that day. And maybe he would say, "Thy sins be forgiven." And maybe those that were observing it wouldn't even say anything, would only have the thought, "No one can forgive sin but God." And they would reason within their hearts, and Jesus would know their thoughts. He would understand what they were thinking, and he would always address it. Now, I never had a teacher that could understand what I was thinking. I remember back here in the school, Sister Patsy, she was teaching the lower level. I was teaching the upper level. One day she looked at one of her students and accused that student of having a certain thought. And he answered her back and he said, "You don't know what's in my mind." And it's true. We may think we know what is in a person's mind, but God knows. And he's able to address that, and he's able to teach them by saying, "I know what's in your mind. I know what you're thinking." So he would oftentimes, through the perception of their thoughts, he would expose those thoughts. And as he would, the people would wonder who is this one that can forgive sins and can also heal bodies? Has that kind of power. So Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I must go away, but I'm going to send the Comforter. We're talking about a teacher this morning. And what he said about the Comforter is that the Comforter would teach you all things. In John 16 and 13, it says, when the Spirit of truth shall come, or is come, he will guide you into all truth. I'd like to read a scripture now in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. I'm going to read verses 10 and 12 through 14. And it says, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now we believe that Christ was the supreme teacher. He was not willing to have just a reputation of rabbi. He rejected that address or that title. But he wanted to give you and me a teacher that would be to all people down through the ages of time, through all generations, because he knew he was not going to stay. He could not be the teacher and stay here on earth through all generations. So he has given to you and me the Holy Spirit to teach us all things, to lead us, to guide us into all truth, and to reveal these things unto his people. And it says that the Spirit searcheth all things, even the deep things of God. You and I cannot search out the deep things of God without his Spirit. It is through the Holy Spirit that we're able to perceive and receive those things that are revealed unto us. Now look down at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. See, there are more than one spirit. There is a spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, there is a spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is vying for a place in your life and mine. And there are teachers that operate under the spirit of the world. Do you believe that? It influences us. It can also guide us on a wrong path. It can teach us wrong things. The scripture tells us there are but two ways. There is a way that is broad and it leads to destruction. But there is a narrow way and it leads to life. And both of those ways are ordered and ordained, if you will, or influenced by a spirit. The broad way is the spirit of the world. The narrow way is the spirit of Christ. And it will teach us and lead us to eternal things, to our eternal home. The scripture teaches us that there is but two places for you and me to go in eternity. The broad way, it said, leads to destruction, leads to a devil's hell. The narrow way, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Any man that comes after me, he must do something. He must deny himself. He must take up his cross every day and follow me. So in order for us to hear the voice of the teacher, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit ourselves and under the influence and unction of the Holy Spirit in our life. So this says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are given unto us of God, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Or in other words, we would say, the man that is of the spirit of the world, that is influenced by the spirit of the world, that is believing the teachings of that spirit, cannot receive the Spirit of God, nor understand the Spirit of God, because it says, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Oh, I know the young people, I hope you never get weary with me saying this to you, but it's for us all. It is so vital that you seek for the infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life, that you might be taught in the truth and in the right way and led and guided. The Holy Spirit is so vital in our lives. Doesn't matter how old we are, we will always need the Holy Spirit working in our life. Now I want to go to the chapter that's just ahead of this, chapter 1. I'm going to look at verses 18 and 25 and 27 through 29. Verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 25. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Do you believe that? Are you able to trust the word of God? Because we are surrounded with all kind of technology and intellectual things. There's advanced learning in our world today, far beyond what my little mind can take in. The technology is advancing so quickly. Just reading recently in the paper concerning technology, and the advancement now is moving into virtual reality in the computer and causing people to have experiences that they never dreamed possible or could never experience before through this advanced technology in the computer. That sounds pretty high level, don't you think? In our world, we're compassed about with all of this learning and all of they look on this, the preaching of the cross, as foolishness. But to us, we don't see it as foolish. We see it as wise. We denounce. We need learning. You need to have learning for this world, to live in this world. We are not condemning education. But in the midst of our education, we need to have our focus on Christ and the wisdom that he can give. And it's far above. He says in one place, my thoughts are far above your thoughts. My ways are far above your ways. If we acknowledge God's ways are best, And then we look at this and we say, the wisdom of God is so much greater than the wisdom, this vast technology advancement. Do you still see God as above it all? He's our teacher. And then verse 27. God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. What's despised? Listen, the word of God can be despised by those that are intellectually trained by the teachers of this world. And so, the things that are despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are. And then it's for this reason that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, we had a scripture last Sunday about humility and how that we have to become as a little child. And we spoke of someone who had a testimony many years ago that was saved out of the world and didn't have really an understanding. And yet, as they were walking with the Lord, they felt they could just walk side by side on the same level. But in time, they began to understand that it was more like a child walking with a father, a little child reaching up and holding on to the Father's hand. And that's how you and I are. We do not know how to direct our own steps. And the scripture tells us that. It's not in the way of man to direct our own steps. So we need a teacher. We need the master. We need the Holy Spirit that will lead us and guide us into all truth. So the scripture said that your teachers are not going to be hid in a corner any longer. You're going to be able to see your teachers. And you're going to be able to hear that voice that will say, "This is the way, walk ye in it." It is a safe way. He will lead you in a safe path. He will lead you in a plain way. Some of the writers even said that. Lead me in a plain path. Our teachers will lead us in a plain path. For the sake of time, I won't be turning and reading the scriptures. I'm going to give you some phrases of scripture out of the word of what the Lord wants to teach us. He said, "I will teach you the good and the right way." Doesn't that sound good? You don't have to worry. Oh, I might be going on a wrong path. If I am allowing the Lord to be my teacher, he will lead me in a good path, in a right way. And then it says, "I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Do we need to be taught how to fear God? I say we do. We must never presume upon God, or as the Sunday school lesson was this morning on mercy, we must never presume on his mercy. We must not take it for granted that God's going to speak to me. The Lord says for you and me to ask, and we shall receive. It says knock, and it shall be open unto you. It says that if I will seek after it, I will find it. But you cannot just walk your way and take your way and the Spirit of the Lord just pour it out on you. You've got to seek for it. You've got to ask. It's got to be important in your life. You've got to recognize it's not in me to direct my own path. I need someone that can teach me and guide me and lead me. The other scripture was, "I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit." You want a prophet in your life? You want to be blessed in your life? You can't bless yourself. You can't make yourself prophet. Oh, there are men and people that are in our society that are very prosperous financially. They seem to have the talent to do it. That it seems like everything they touch turns to gold. Have you ever heard that about some people? God wants you and me to seek after the prophet he has for us in our life. Thank the Lord. So he is the Lord, our God, and he wants to teach you how to be profitable in your spirit, in your life. One scripture says, and we've used it, I believe we used it last Sunday afternoon, maybe one of the brethren did, that he wants you and me to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. He is more interested in my soul prospering than anything else in my life. But he does desire us to be profited. So the next scripture we have is Titus 2:11-12. And this is speaking about the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. I believe that every person born on the face of the earth, God is faithful to them. He gives them opportunity. He reaches out to them. He draws them to himself at some point in time in their life. It is the mercy of the Lord, but it is the grace of God that is teaching every one of us something. And the teaching is that I must deny ungodliness and worldly lust. You see, that's some of the things that the God of this world wants to teach you and me, is the worldly lust. And we can be taught that. We can be influenced. We can be led in those ways. All we have to do is just drive down the highway and the billboards of the world is speaking to us if we listen. It will influence what I'm thinking, what I'm hearing. And yet, the grace of God has taught me something else. It's taught me that I must deny ungodliness. I must look upon those things and not be ashamed to say, that is ungodly. Not be ashamed. I must look on the ungodly dress of the world and say, that is ungodly. I must keep my vision clear and allow the Holy Spirit to cause me to see it like he sees it. See, I can see my teacher now, and I can hear what the voice is saying. This is the way. Walk ye in it. But it also teaches us to deny the worldly lust. It teaches us that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And then I have a scripture over in Job, the 32nd chapter. And it says something about the multitude of years. What does that mean? Does that mean someone that has lived a long time? Verse 7, chapter 32, I'm sorry. It says, days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. It seems as though that if we live a long time, you see the people walking around that gray-headed and and you'll look on them and you'll say, well, they've lived a long time. Surely something, they've learned something down through their life. And they should. They should have. It says that the multitude of years should teach wisdom. But look at verse 8. But there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Who's the teacher? The Almighty. Without the Almighty in a person's life, how can they learn and learn what they need to know when they come down to the end of their life and they're gray-headed and they're facing the years that are supposed to be golden years and they're not? They're years maybe of pain and suffering and disabilities and those kind of things we don't look forward to. But I should have learned something from the Almighty down through my life. And then it says in verse 9, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged always, I'm putting the word always in there, the aged men don't always understand judgment. Why? Because they didn't seek after the Almighty as their teacher. Oh, I want to tell you, we need to be taught. We need to be led. Then Psalms 90 and 12, it says something that we need to, oftentimes we may read this at a funeral. And this says, teach us to number our days. Make us aware that life is slipping away. That I have an hourglass up here and the sands of the hourglass are moving very quickly to the bottom chamber. And when the last grain of sand drops, that is the end of my life. And I will go out to meet the Almighty. And if He has been my teacher, He will have prepared me for life beyond. I said that our teachers in school prepared us for life beyond school. I want to tell you, we need to be prepared for life beyond this life. Above all things, to be prepared to meet God. We have a song in our book that we hadn't sang this song for a long time, and it came to us recently. Be ready when He comes. 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 That's the chorus. That is to teach us something. Don't ignore the fact that life is slipping away. You may not get to be gray-headed like me. It is said you can go to the cemetery and you will find every size grave. Every age. Young, middle-aged, and old, and all in between will be in the cemetery. And their dates and their ages will be engraved upon their stones forever. And they will go out to meet their Maker with whatever they have on hand right then. We need a teacher, don't we? Teach us to number our days, to think about it, to not just live haphazardly every day. Going to my job and thinking only of my job. Cleaning my house and only thinking of that. Listen, there's coming a day that the Lord is going to return. And according to the word of God in Peter, all of this is going to burn up. And those that are in the grave that are ready will come forth. And we that are ready and remain, we will be caught up in the air to be with them forever. Thank the Lord. So it says, teach us to number our days for a reason, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Job 34 and 32, it says, that which I see not, teach thou me. Do you recognize things that you don't really understand or you don't really see clearly? The scripture plainly tells us that without a vision, the people perish. So if I am living my life in ignorance, does the Bible speak about ignorance? It does. It speaks about a day being as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. And then it says there are people that are willingly ignorant of those things. But if I will recognize, I don't understand everything, Lord, but I want to. And I seek after it. And I say, Lord, I want you to teach me those things that I don't know. Do you ever ask the Lord to teach you what you don't know? He will open it up to us. He will reveal. Our beginning scripture didn't just talk about the two teachers or the teachers. It named what those teachers were. And it said it was bread of adversity and water of affliction. Those are teachers. It is not everything that is written in the book of life. It is not all of the instructions that we have here. But we said that life was like a school. Events come to us in life. The writer of the book, Hinds Feet in High Places, if those of you that have read it, were there two teachers? There were two teachers in that book. And as Much Afraid was beginning her journey to the high places, and the Good Shepherd provided her with traveling companions, which were her teachers. And what did he say about those two? He said, these are my two best companions. My two best teachers. The names of them was sorrow and suffering. So the events that come to you and me in our life, where we begin to experience the bread of adversity. Have you ever had adversity? Absolutely. It could be worse, though. There have been those that have been martyred for the cause of God, for the cause of Jesus and His truth. They lost their lives. The scripture says, you and I have not given our life's blood yet. But when we have adversity, how do we handle it? Do we step back and say, Lord, teach me your way in this adversity? Let me see the good. The word of the Lord says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those that are called according to His purpose. Do you believe it? Oftentimes, when we're experiencing the bread of affliction or the sorrows of life, we aren't able to see clearly in the midst of it. But if He will keep our feet in the way, and when you get past it, He will be able to show you what you learned. There have been things that I have learned through hard experiences in life. I learned some things I could never have learned any other way except through a hard place. So we have a scripture. It's in Psalms 119. There's a number of scriptures along this line, but we'll not take too much time. Verse 67, it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. This affliction, this adversity, this sorrow, this suffering has worked a work in me and taught me something. And now I keep your word now. Better than I've ever kept it because I've passed through this place. Verse 71, it says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn something. Learn thy statutes. He wants to teach us things in the midst of the sorrow and the grief and the adversity and the affliction. And then 2 Corinthians, in closing, chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "For our light affliction." You know, you can't see it as light unless the Lord teaches you. And Brother Dan, I think, said last Sunday afternoon, speaking of trusting in the Lord and divine healing and all of those subjects that were discussed then, we have to compare all of this in light of eternity. We have to have a vision of our eternal home and where we hope to be. The song says, ever keep heaven in view. Ever keep heaven in view. Every day recognize I'm still on my journey to my heavenly home, and I've got to keep it in view. So I look at this affliction and I call it light. This isn't that bad compared to eternity, compared to my heavenly home. So it says, for our light affliction is but for a moment. Oh, it can last a long time. But in light of eternity, it's but a moment. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So this morning, the scripture says, though he give us the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, he said, your teacher is not going to be hid in a corner anymore. You're going to be able to see your teacher, and you're going to be able to hear your teacher. And the voice that you will hear is, this is the way. Walk ye in it. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll teach you. We need our teacher, don't we? Pray for me.